You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Naima Ahmad, an immigrant from Egypt, joined a language class in Quebec last August. She was wearing a niqab, a full face veil. She also sat at the back of the class so that the men wouldn't be able to see her. Tensions reportedly mounted in the class, which was also designed to help integrate the students into Quebec society. After some additional difficulties, she was asked to leave. This incident became the impetus for Quebec's Bill 94. That bill would refuse government services, employment, educational opportunities, and even most medical care to Muslim women wearing the niqab. Itras Syed is a doctoral student at Simon Fraser University. She is currently teaching women's studies at Langara College. She has joined me by phone to discuss Bill 94. Good morning, Itras.
Hello, good morning.
Now, can you tell us a little about the niqab? According to Islamic law, are women compelled to wear it?
Well, Islamic law, Islamic jurisprudence is a diverse body of work with a lot of diversity of interpretation. The majority opinion is that face veiling is not part of, is not mandated in Islamic jurisprudence, but there is a minority position that believes it is so, and definitely women who do choose to cover their faces believe it is part of their religion.
Now, in your opinion, is this bill discriminatory?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I think that I can't even really believe that we're having a serious national conversation that women who choose to cover their face would be actually denied any of their rights as citizens in this country and would not even be able to access health care. Like, the fact that we're actually having a serious conversation about this is completely absurd to me. It is clearly a violation of all of their rights.
How so?
Well, I think that however you choose to interpret your religion and however you choose to practice it, as insofar as it pertains to your specific body, should not intervene in your access to health care or education. And in the case of this particular woman, this was the second time she was asked to leave. And my understanding of the case that I've only gleaned through reading media reports of it is that the second time there wasn't any actual problem within the class, but that the Quebec government actually found out that she was accessing these services and asked her to leave. So basically now they're at the place where they're hunting down women who cover their faces and going out of their way to deny them access to social services.
And in total, how many people in Quebec will be affected by this bill?
Well, I've heard a lot of numbers. The number that I've heard in the media often is that there's like just over 24 women in Quebec. I'm not sure how accurate that number is, and I'm not sure how they've arrived at that number. But by any assessment, it is a very small minority of people.
Given the small numbers involved, why would the Quebec government? Why do you think the Quebec government is going to such lengths to enact a bill like this?
Well, I think that it's important to see this bill not in isolation and not looking at it specifically as an issue about face veiling. I think it's more important to see this as part of a continuum, a series of moral panics that's occurred across Canada, in Quebec, in the UK, in France, and in other Western countries over Muslim bodies. And this has manifested itself in various incarnations of debates over headscarves in Canada, the Sharia debate, before in Canada around Muslim schoolgirls or young athletes wanting to play soccer or taekwondo wearing headscarves. All of these moral panics are connected, and they're connected by this kind of panic that happens around problematizing Muslim bodies in Western nations and trying to figure out basically policing the nation and deciding who is a legitimate citizen and who is not, who has the right to be there and who does not.
Why do you think Western governments are so concerned about what Muslims, and in particular Muslim women, are wearing?
Well, I think that many of these issues don't come out specifically as I don't think they initially emerge as issues of government. I think more can come in many different forms, And one of the things that I think that the concern comes out of is, I think it's when this does emerge as a political issue, it becomes an issue that people rally behind and definitely deflects attention away from other concerns that the government might be having. But I think the broader issue that that is not necessarily held by one political side of the spectrum or not is sort of this assumption that Muslim women should be saved, that Muslim women are not intelligent enough as a group to sort of determine for themselves how they choose to perform their gender identity, and that Muslim women cannot be trusted with the same kind of independence and agency and decision-making power that we just assume all women to have.
Is there a patriarchal attitude at work here, do you think?
Very much so, and paternalistic, which is at the core of it. The idea is that in all of the key element that is constant in every one of these moral panics, if you sort of map them out, is the idea that Muslim women as a group are infantilized.
And now you've mentioned moral panic. Can you get into a little bit more detail there? How and why do governments create such panics?
Again, I don't think it's just necessarily emerging as... I don't think the catalytic moment is always a government action. In this case, it is. But in other cases, like when you look at things around issues that have occurred around athletes, it's not been a government body that's actually initiated it, but it's been some other kind of regulatory body. So I think that there's multiple reasons why this might happen, but I think that the key issue is to sort of see them not as isolated incidents, like I said, but as this continuum, and to look at it really as a issue of civil rights and an issue of the principle of every woman having autonomy over her own body.
But why would such fear-mongering be happening?
Well, I think the fear-mongering aspect of it is the core of all of these kinds of fear-mongering incidents is racism. And a fear of, like, I mean, if you think about this, and even just a few weeks ago when Stats Can released their predictions of what the demographics of Canada might look like in 2031, a lot of images of women in headscarves and face veils were associated with those kinds of articles that talked about that. And so there is this construction of this fear of that this would be the new face of Canada. And by any stretch, this is a very minority practice, and definitely one that doesn't warrant the kind of center stage scrutiny and this kind of whipping up of, like, national fear and sort of moral concern around this, because it's definitely not that big of an issue. But I think another one of the things to think about is how this actually plays out in women's lives. Because if the concern is around increasing women's autonomy and women's ability to make choices for themselves, isolating an entire community by this kind of rhetoric does not further that end by any stretch.
And how would you assess the media's response to this issue so far?
Well, I think that it's been there's been a lot of positions on both sides in the media, but I think the fact that this is even taken seriously is, and it's actually, like, sort of constructed as this rational argument about reasonable accommodation is, I think, problematic. Because if we were talking about any other group of women, if we were talking about any other practice, the entire concept that we could be actually sitting here saying that this group of women will not have access to non-life-threatening medical care. Like I can't even believe that is a serious piece of legislation that is being discussed. And I think one of the things that the media really has to do is to try and kind of point out the idiocy of this kind of discourse around this, which I think it's much easier to kind of go into the rehearsed positions that all of the moral panics have taken.
And what are people in the Muslim community saying about Bill 94?
Well, there are multiple positions. Obviously, the Muslim community, like all other communities of humans, is diverse. So there are people. I think the general position is that it is... I think people, firstly, don't understand how this has become a central issue. Secondly, I think people are very much clear that this legislation is targeting the Muslim community, and that while we're talking about face veils, which is a minority practice, Eventually, and very soon, the issue would be headscarves, which is not a universal practice by any stretch, but it is a much more a much larger religious practice.
Well, thanks very much for talking with us today, Itras.
You're very welcome.
I've been talking with Itras Syed. Itras is a doctoral student at Simon Fraser University, and she's currently teaching women's studies at Langara College.